Have you ever gotten a pebble in your shoe? Yeah, I think you all have. Everybody's laughing. I heard somebody go, ooh, that's right. Pebbles, they tend to hurt a little bit, right? I got a pebble in my shoe, not this yesterday, Saturday, but the Saturday before when I came over here, you know, to help do with the back-to-school bash and monsoon thing that we had going on. But I got out of my truck there, and I had this little pebble in my shoe, and guess what? The first thing I did when I got into the church was I took off my shoe, and I found that pebble, and I dumped it in the trash, right? Because I knew that that little pebble wasn't hurting that much right then. And then, of course, if I shook my foot just right, it would move over up to where my arch was, and I couldn't feel it at all. I'd take a couple steps, and it'd be back, right? But I knew that by the end of the day, that little pebble that was causing a small irritation was going to be a bigger irritation. And that's the way life works a lot of times in our relationships. Whether it's a husband-wife relationship, a father's son, a best friend, a cousin, an aunt, an uncle, and even in a church. Sometimes you get just a little pebble that irritates you just a little bit. And we tend to think, well, it'll just go away. But if we don't deal with it, and if we don't deal with it properly, that little pebble begins to irritate us a little more, and then it irritates us a little more. And for the record, this is a lesson I've had to learn over and over and over again. This is one of my struggles in life. And eventually that little irritation is a little bit bigger and it's a little bit sore. And then the next thing you know, the next little irritation comes along. And what do? You kind of blow up at somebody. And they're like, wait a minute, I didn't think it was that big a deal, was it? And it really wasn't that big a deal. But that little pebble on top of that little pebble on top of that little pebble. And now you got all these pebbles in your shoes and you're walking around and you're just constantly in a state of irritation because you've not dealt with the rocks in your shoes. Well, Jesus has something to say about that. We're going to go to John chapter 13, one of my favorite passages. And there's a part of me like to just read verses 1 through 17, say a word of prayer and be done because it is so powerful. But in John chapter 13, we're going to talk about the fact that we need to be washed clean. We need to make sure that we keep all the little pebbles out of our lives because those little pebbles become big pebbles. And we want to deal with little pebbles while they're little because they're a whole lot easier to deal with than sometimes we carry around these big boulders that we don't know how to get rid of. We're going to read the entire section, verses 1 through 17, and then we're going to come and talk about it just for a few moments. And this is Thursday night. Jesus knows he's going to be crucified the next day. And Jesus is spending his last few hours with his closest friends, and he is pouring into them everything he possibly can because he knows that soon he's going to leave them alone. And they're going to be doing this without him, but with the help of the Holy Spirit. Well, John tells us now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew, look, he knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. So Jesus knows Judas is going to betray me. Peter is going to deny me. All of my friends are going to flee. But I'm God. When he says God given all things into his hands, Jesus has all authority. He is king of the world. He knows all of this. And this is what Jesus does. He rose from supper. He laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Well, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And Peter, being Peter, said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Well, Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet and is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. for he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. What a beautiful picture Jesus paints for his apostles and for us, his followers. Where'd we go there? Josh, what are you doing to me? That's okay. There we go. We're back to where we are. It's no big deal. Oh. Jesus paints for us this beautiful picture. For us to understand, we don't quite get the washing feet thing. We talked about it 2 weeks ago when Mary washed the feet of Jesus, how that they walk around in sandals or barefooted in dirt and mud and nasty roads because they weren't paved. And the culturally appropriate thing, the right thing to do when you went to somebody's house was to make sure your feet were washed. If you were going to sit at supper with somebody, you needed clean feet. And if a house had servants, the job of the lowest servant was to wash the feet. It was the entry-level position. It was the position that if you go to a job and they give you the absolute lowest job there at the company, you cannot wait until somebody else comes along and gets hired so you can move out of that position because you no longer want the lowest job in the company. That was the job of the person to wash the feet. And so Jesus takes this job of the servant, the lowest, and he starts to wash their feet. And Peter, he just says what everybody else is thinking. He's like, no, Jesus, what are you doing? This is not your job, Jesus. You're God, you're creator, you're king. I mean, you're the Messiah. You don't wash our feet. And Jesus is like, I know you don't understand now, but just hang on and wait. You're going to understand at some point. And then he says, Peter, but I got to wash your feet or you and I got nothing to do with each other. And we know Peter, right? Type A, he's right. Oh, no, well, not just my feet then. Give me all of it. And Jesus says, that's not necessary. You've already been washed. You've already had your bath. All you need is your feet clean. And Jesus is pointing out to him the theology of salvation. This salvation is a one-time act that takes place when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. The Bible tells us that we are now washed in the blood of Christ. We are washed clean. We are given a robe of righteousness, and then we are baptized into the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us, and we are now given a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says that he who is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. The new has come, that you and I are now new once we have made that profession. Jesus told John or Nicodemus in John 3, right? You must be born again. It is a new birth whereby you are now a new creation. And then Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, God through the Apostle Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit seals us for the day of redemption. That when that Holy Spirit comes in and indwells us, He seals us for all eternity. That there is no need to go back and be saved again just because you stumble, just because you committed a sin. That once you are saved, that is an eternal transaction. And Jesus says, I don't need to bathe you again. But you do need your feet washed because you and I know we walk through this world and we have a flesh that wants what it wants and we struggle with the temptations of the world. The devil throws temptations at us. Our bodies want things that are not good for us and are sinful for us. And as we're going through this world, we've got to be washed clean on a regular daily basis. We understand this principle with our hands, not our feet. You get up, you get all cleaned and you go off to work. And then when it comes lunchtime, hopefully, your hands are all dirty. What do? You wash your hands so that they're clean so you can eat. So Jesus is teaching Peter, no, you don't need to be saved again But you need to make sure that your relationship with God is clean, because you do not approach God with dirty hands. You do not approach God unholy. And we need to wash ourselves clean to approach God. And being clean with God means also being clean with other people. Now, the criticism I hear when people talk about, well, once you're saved, you're always saved, eternal security, whatever you want to throw is, well, what you're teaching is people can be saved and go live however they want, and then in the end, it's all good. I hear the criticism, but that's not what Jesus taught. Because what happens when you become a new creation? Once you become a new creation and the Holy Spirit indwells you, you don't look at your old life the way you used to. You don't see sin the way you used to see it. When the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, the Holy Spirit says, uh-uh, wait a minute, hang on. I don't think you need to be doing that. The Holy Spirit also says, I think you do need to be doing that right there. And we have the power of God that convicts us of sin. And so for the person that thinks, well, then I'm all good, you might want to check a little bit. I don't know anybody's hearts, but I know that somebody that has the Holy Spirit living within them, they're going to want to be washed clean because they want a right relationship with God. Now, the Bible also does teach us that there are those who are apostate. There are those who make professions. There are those that go to church and they live this life that only outward appears godly. And then at some point, they'll turn away. We're seeing this phenomenon in worship music the last couple of years, and it breaks my heart. So-called worship leaders and even certain pastors have, what quote-unquote, deconstructed, and they have now said, well, I'm walking away from my faith. And it breaks my heart. Well, John tells us in John 2, 1 John chapter 2, that those that turn and walk away from the faith, it's not that they were saved and then became unsaved. It's like they were never a part of us. That the outward appearance was merely an outward appearance, and that they are now apostate because they were never truly born again. But for you and I, if you are in Christ Jesus, you can rest assured in the love of Christ, that no matter where you go, no matter what happens, no matter how bad you fall, no matter how many stumbles you take, no matter what happens in your life, that God loves you and you are always a child of God. And that should always drive you to your knees to bring you back into right relationship with God. That is what Jesus is trying to picture and teach Peter in this moment. I don't think that was his main point, though. Because when Jesus started out, I mean, he knows what Peter's going to do, but when he starts out, he's starting out, he says, I want to give you an example of how you should treat each other in my kingdom. Because what John doesn't tell us, but Luke tells us happens on that same night during that, Luke tells us this. He goes, now there was also a dispute among them, among Jesus' apostles, as to which of them should be considered the greatest. Now, I can't be too critical because I'd have been in the same boat, but I'm thinking, wait a minute. You're sitting in a room with Jesus, and you're talking about who's the greatest? Shouldn't that be a no-brainer? You're sitting with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you're discussing who's the greatest? What's going on, people? But here's what they were thinking. They thought, and they thought that Jesus was going to establish his earthly kingdom at any moment. And they knew, we've been with Jesus since the very beginning. We've suffered with him. We've watched all the good stuff. We've watched all the bad stuff. We are his closest friends. And if you are closest friends to the King, you get to rule and reign with the King. And so they're having this discussion. Oh man, the millennium's about here. The Jesus is about to rule, and we're going to rule with him, and I get to be vice president. And you can be Secretary of State. You can be Secretary of Transportation. You can be Secretary of who cares. I don't know, but I get to be vice president. And they're like, no, I don't think so. I'm vice president. I saw him first. I talked to Jesus before you talked to Jesus. I think I should be vice president. And so while they're arguing about who is the greatest, Jesus says, let me show you what it means to be great in my kingdom. And he takes a towel, he takes a bowl of water, and he starts washing the feet. And they're in shock, and they're in awe. Wait a minute. Whoa, hey. No, this is not right. Jesus, you don't wash our feet. That's not the way it works. And Jesus says, yes, this is exactly how it works in my kingdom. If you want to be great in my kingdom, you have to be a servant. And to be a servant, you must be humble. You must be humble enough to wash the feet of someone else. You also must be humble enough to let someone else wash your feet. You must be willing to serve. And if we're not willing to serve others, we're not following Jesus. The most Christ-like thing we do is when we forgive others when they sin against us, and when we serve other people with no expectations, no quid pro quo, no what can they do for me. I simply want to serve you, and I want to help you become the best. And I know our time is short, but I want to give you three marks, three keys, three things that you can think about, that you can check the box, that you can look at yourself and say, am I truly being great in the kingdom of God? Am I truly acting like a servant of God? Because the most important thing in our church, the most important thing in your life, is to make sure that your relationships are clean, that there's no pebbles. If you have a problem with the brother and sister in Christ, God looks at that and says, now hang on a minute. You hurt my child. You and I got a problem. So we got to stay washed clean, and we do it by being humble and washing each other's feet. But the first mark, we talk about the marks of grace, greatness. Number one is you're teachable. Humble people are teachable people. Humble people know that they don't have all the answers. Humble people know that I still have something to learn and that you can teach me something. It might be theological. It might be practical. But you might just be able to teach me something about how you and I can relate together. Humble people know that they're teachable. You ask any coach of any sport, any level, little league, all the way up to the professionals, the players that they want to coach the most are the players that want to learn. For 8 years, I coached 7th, 8th, and 9th grade basketball. And I could tell pretty quick who was going to get better fast and who wasn't. I had some 7th graders come up, and they thought they knew everything about basketball. I mean, they'd been practicing in their backyard, and they made a few shots, and they didn't need anybody to teach them how to dribble or shoot or hold a basketball or nothing. And then I had others who wanted to learn. And I would show them, and I would teach them. And in that level, it is all about fundamentals. This is how you hold it. This is how you place your feet. This is what you do. And then I would walk off, and I would look back, and some of them would be trying to do it the way I had taught them. And others, they went right back to the thing that they thought they already knew. And the ones that got better were the ones that were teachable, and the ones that were coachable. And if you and I are not teachable, if we are not coachable, we are not humble. That's mark number one. Mark number two, a humble person is helpful. Are you helpful? Or do you say, that's not my job. That's not for me. Jesus could have said, hey, look, I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. I'm the greatest. If anybody's going to be washing any feet in this room, it is not going to be me. But he didn't do that. Because he says there's a better way to have good relationships with other people. And one of those is being helpful. How can I help you? How can I help you be better? How can I do something that makes your life better, not hurt you? And then the third one, the one I wanted to land on the most, is approachable. In order for you to wash somebody else's feet, you got to approach them, right? And then you got to approach them in what kind of position? You got to kneel before them to wash their feet, right? If you're going to let somebody wash your feet, you got to be approachable, right? We have to learn to be approachable to each other. Because guess what? All of us have got dirty feet. We all need to be washed clean. We all need to make sure that our relationships are right with each other. And if we cannot approach each other and discuss what's going on in our lives, if you cannot approach your spouse and have a discussion, you're going to have a problem. Because the pebbles just don't fall out of your shoes. It doesn't work that way in relationships. If you've got a problem with somebody else in this church, just sitting on the other side of the church is not going to fix the problem. They're sitting up front, so I'll sit in back. Oh, they're sitting in the back. I think I'll sit up front today. If you cannot approach each other, you cannot solve the issue. And humble people are approachable. We need to come together and figure out how do we solve the problem between us. We need to think in terms of, I'm going to confront this problem. Don't think about, okay, I've got a problem with so-and-so, so I'm going to confront them. That's the wrong mentality. You got a problem with somebody, you go to them, you say, how can we solve this problem? You see the difference? I don't need to confront you. I need to join you to solve the problem that exists between us. Maybe I've only got 1% of the problem. Maybe only 1% of what happened is my fault. But I tell you what, I'll own my 1%. Maybe 99% of the problem was mine. And maybe I got to own 99% of the problem. But whatever it exists, if we're not able to approach each other and discuss in humility what's going on in our lives, we will never get washed clean. So you and I, we need to be teachable, we need to be helpful, and we need to be approachable. As we're continuing to grow, as we're continuing to reach out into our community, and I see new faces on a regular basis in our church, and it just thrills my soul to see more and more people coming. And I realize they're coming not because of me, they're coming because God is moving and God is working. But where God moves and where God works, Satan wants to pry in, and Satan's going to throw pebbles in your shoes, and he's going to hope that you walk around with pebbles in your shoes and get all irritated instead of taking your shoe off and emptying the pebble. That's what Satan's hoping for. He wants you to stay irritated. But that's not what we want here. We want clean hands and a pure heart. So as we close our eyes and bow our heads, we're going to go God in prayer. The music team can come forward. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and pray, to make sure that you are clean with God. Are there any pebbles in your life that you need to deal with? Are there any pebbles that you need to take care of? Because if there's pebbles you need to take care of, I want to encourage you to take care of them today before they become bigger or before you collect so many pebbles that you don't know what to do. It's easier to get rid of a pebble than a boulder. Deal with the issues today. And if you're thinking, well, I've got this boulder in my life or I've got all of these pebbles in my life and I don't know how to deal with it, deal with it one at a time. Start chipping away today. You'll find it gets easier and easier and easier. You and I all need to be washed clean on a daily basis, on a regular basis. We need to have clean hands, pure hearts, so that we can approach a holy and righteous God and worship Him the way He deserves. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray that if there are any pebbles in anybody's shoes today, that they will come. They will get right with You. They will get right with their brother and sister, that they will cleanse themselves. I pray that we will get rid of the rocks in our shoes. I pray that we will have clean hands and a pure heart. Because, God, we want Your blessings in our lives. We want Your blessings in our church. And we want to keep the devil and his ways out of here. So may we humble ourselves and serve and follow You.